Good afternoon, Linda. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon. Optometrist.
Optometrist, yeah.
A mouthful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to let you say what else you do as well. I mean, there's a full title there, and if I was trying to say it, it'd take me half an hour to untangle my tongue again.
That's okay. I'm a practicing optometrist, but I'm also optometric advisor and spokesperson for the Association of Optometrists in Ireland.
Okay.
I'm glad you had to say that.
Okay, now there's a scandalous situation at the moment in regards to young kids. Could you tell us about it?
Well, basically, in 2013, we did a survey because we became aware of the fact that more and more children who are failing the school screening, you know, the screening where children have their vision checked in mm-hmm. primary school, and we were seeing more and more of these children coming into our community practices, and we were kind of thinking, well, this isn't right, and the parents were telling us about these waiting lists, and it seemed ridiculous. In some areas, the waiting list could be as long as 5 years. So we decided to do a survey, and we asked the members of our profession to ring around all the local community care clinics and find out what the waiting lists were like. So we found an average, it tends to be about 2 to 3 years, and that's the average, and in some cases going up to 5. So at that time, we put a call out to the HSC to offer our services to reduce these waiting lists. And in the meantime, the national eye care pathway was drawn up by a team of optometrists, ophthalmologists, orthoptists, all mm-hmm. on behalf of the HSC. So that was signed off in 2014. And in this care pathway, it included sort of community care for pediatric, for glaucoma, for cataract, for all these type of conditions. So people could have basic care and management in the community without having to access the hospitals. Mm-hmm. So that was signed off in 2014, and nothing's been done since. So basically what we wanted to do was to highlight the fact that the situation with the children isn't getting any better. We're now 2016. Children cannot afford to wait, because there are critical windows of treatment when you're managing children's vision. And we wanted to say to any incoming administration in the government that this cannot be left, it can't be ignored, and we mm-hmm. really need to do something about it.
And is this
that optometrists are there to do it.
Okay, and is this regardless of whether you have the medical card or not? The situation?
Yeah,
if a
child fails a school screening, they're entitled to an eye examination in the local healthcare clinic, if you like. Mm-hmm. But they're not entitled to go to an optometrist. Now, legally or professionally, we're fully qualified to see children. Irish optometrists are among the most highly qualified in the world, okay? But if the parent brings their child to see us, having failed the school screening, they have to pay. Mm-hmm. And we feel, you know, you have inequality of access. So in some parts of the country, what's happening is the public health nurses are saying the waiting lists in this area are just too bad. Go and see your local optometrist or ophthalmologist privately. Now, if you do that and you pay privately for the eye examination, in some areas, they allow you to use the voucher to cover the glasses, and in other areas, they won't. The whole thing is a bit higgledy-piggledy, to say the least.
Okay. And it just needs to be cleared up in some way, because, I mean, can I ask you about children that young? What sort of prognosis can you get for eye problems later on in life? Can it be told that young?
Okay, so, well, there's two outcomes. First of all, you've got the lazy eye situation. So a child's neurological development finishes around about the age of 7 or 8. So neurologically, if you have a problem with a child's eyesight, you need to correct that comfortably before the age of 7 mm-hmm. in order to ensure they have two equally functioning eyes. So if you have one eye that's lazy, okay, and you don't correct that eye, or you don't treat it with glasses or whatever needs to be done before the age of 7, you can't reverse that, okay? So mm-hmm. what happens is you have a loss of stereopsis or a loss of ability to see 3D. So that's going to have impacts on your career choices and your life choices. And also the problem is, at this stage of their life, children are doing 80% of what they're learning is through what they see. So if they're not seeing properly, it's going to impact on their educational development. So they're going to be educationally disadvantaged.
Mm. Okay, is there a shortcut to solve the problem that's not too expensive?
Well, there is. You see, the shortcut is there's over 300 optometrists around the country, and some optometrists have completed additional training specialising in paediatrics. And we at the AOI have a list of these optometrists who've done this additional training. And we could offer that to the HSC and say, look, you know, children can go to their local optometrist and have their eye test done, and we could start clearing those waiting lists very, very quickly.
Okay, so is it,
and that would just be a starting point. I mean, I know hopefully when this eye care plan is published and things start happening, that going forward there will be a methodology for managing the school screening. But just to get it cleared up in the interim, you know, optometrists are there qualified to see children, and we really want to help.
Well, I see that you're very optimistic that it can be solved very quickly when the report is read. Can you be that optimistic? I mean, we haven't even got a government yet. And things can change pretty quickly.
I think, to be very honest with you, you have to maintain some level of optimism or you'll never get anywhere.
Okay.
And I am optimistic. Or, you know, you've got to look at the facts, and the facts are that optometrists are there.
Okay.
And we are qualified to do this, and we can. And there are methodologies for managing this further down the line. It's been drawn up. We just need to see it published.
I don't want to scare anybody. Yeah, I don't want to scare anyone, but when I was asking about his prognosis for children that young, and you mentioned like glaucoma and other things, can that be spotted? You mentioned the lazy eye that can be spotted, but can these type of things can be seen in the prognosis that young?
Well, glaucoma and cataracts in children are not the usual thing you pick up through the school screening. That's not the pathology we would be looking for.
Okay.
And generally, children who have glaucoma or cataracts will have children, they will be children with other issues, frequently developmental issues, and they'll be congenital. It's a different type of glaucoma and cataract to the type of thing we associate with the over 50s. And those children will often have been picked up at birth or when they're very young.
Okay.
But naturally, it would be something we would check for as part of the examination, yes.
Okay, and you're saying to the extent as well that if, when the government does look at this, when we eventually get one, that you've put into it where there can be a huge economic savings on the suggestions that you're making.
Well, I mean, absolutely. And we have shown this. We had a pilot scheme, for example, in the northwest of Ireland, where people who'd had cataract surgery, rather than having to go back into the hospital, went out to see their optometrist locally.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a really good scheme where the optometrists were linking in with the hospital, and they had all the patient files and all the records there, and they were able to complete those in the community. And the savings that were made there were quite significant, because they were, you know, it wasn't using up clinic time in the outpatient. And this is something that every party has committed to, is, you know, using community care more appropriately, because it is a less expensive option than hospital care.
Yes,
economics make sense.
Yeah, it does, all right, because I mean, we're so used to listening to people talking millions and billions, but it would save millions in lots of cases. And incidentally, in the course of the research for the report, is it worse in some parts of the country than others, or is it just countrywide?
No, it's worse in some parts than others.
Okay. Well, probably mostly.
It is. Some areas it's not too bad. Some areas it might be only a year to 18 months, and then some areas it is up to 5 years.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on the population.
Yeah. It depends on the population. It depends on what the services are like in the community, and, you know, in the local healthcare centre.
So is it a matter of just sitting back and waiting for them to read the report from the association, or are you going to make further representations?
We're banging this drum a long time, and we have had some input. As I said, we were involved in drawing up the eye care pathway, and now we're calling on that to be published. And as I said, we remain optimistic that this is the way it's going to go.
Well, I know he's the current Leo Varadkar, and he seems quite amenable to suggestions that can save money. So if he's still in there, maybe, or whoever takes his place, might have the same attitude. Hopefully.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Well, this is what we're hoping. Eye care is a very important thing, because, you know, as you can appreciate, if you lose your vision, particularly later on in life, it impacts on older people significantly. You've got earlier admission into care homes, loss of independence, increased rates of depression and falls. And then in children, obviously, you're going to have delayed development because vision is absolutely crucial to a child's development. So on both ends of the spectrum.
Exactly. There's no end to the equations that you could think of. Mental health, all sorts of frustration in children.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it branches out totally. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to try and say this because I'm nearly finished talking to you, so it doesn't matter if my tongue gets tired because. And I just want to hear you laugh anyway. You have a great laugh. Optometrist, optimistic. Can I say that as a headline?
Optometrist.
Okay, you say it much better than me anyway. Listen, congratulations on the report and hopefully that it will be successful. I mean, I know I'm laughing and making a joke, but it's quite a serious problem for our children. And maybe people, if another election happens to come around, or even now, it just gets to their local representatives and tell them how they feel about it.
Well, that's it, exactly. People need to fight for this. And I know we all feel we've so many things we have to fight for, but this is something that can be achieved. You know, the structures are there. The qualified personnel are there. This can be done.
Okay, Lynn, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say this, you know, there's no rocket science here.
Yeah. Okay, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Congratulations on the report. And as I say, I'm sure they will listen to you. Thank you very much, Linda.
Thank you.
Take
care.
Bye. Give us a laugh again before you go.
Oh, God.
Did you eat much chocolate over the weekend, by the way?
Pardon me?
Did you eat much chocolate?
Don't go there. I'm going to be out running now, I think, for the next week. But you have to.
Okay. Thanks very much, Linda.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Linda McGivney there.